Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. Our phone number is 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. Please go to our website, and we make available some great tools for you, most importantly the Bible, the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Companion Bible. I think most, first of all, you need a Companion Bible because it contains the whole Scriptures, and the marginal notes are absolutely indispensable. And then for a good reference tool, the Concordant Literal New Testament, many helps in that as well. So we make those available at our website, so go there and get yourself a copy and study away and learn more about God and Christ and what His plan is for your life, as they say out there, but we really want to discover that. And we are today going to discuss the topic, the blessings of the body of Christ. Pardon me. The blessings of the body of Christ. Now, first of all, I want to read a verse, and that is in chapter 1 of Ephesians, which Ephesians is really the foundation of the body of Christ. And so I'm going to read to you verses 3 to 6. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the overthrow or disruption of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Now, there are a couple things I want to discuss, actually three items. First of all, I want to talk about the character of our blessings, the place of our blessing, and the time frame, the time. So we're going to talk about character, place, and time. Now, the subject here, again, are the blessings of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to read something here from Oscar Baker, and he says this: "There are special blessings in connection with the dispensation of the mystery. These blessings are different from those of any other dispensation. They differ from them in three respects: place, time, and character." So we're going to take a look, a brief look at each one of these unique characteristics. Now, first of all, we're going to talk about the character of our blessings. And I'm going to read another comment here by Baker. In Ephesians 1:3, we are immediately reminded that our blessings are all spiritual blessings. These are not earthly material blessings, as were promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are not blessings in the flesh, such as the gifts of the Church of God in the book of Acts. They are spiritual, and they are in the heavenly places. Not only that, but they are all spiritual blessings. There is nothing withheld. Our Lord is heir of all things, and we are heirs and joint heirs with him, so we inherit the all things. Just as all spiritual things have their shadow here in the earthly things, so do these spiritual blessings have their shadow in our material lives. I confess I don't understand that last line, but I thought I'd read it anyway. But I want to point this out. Our blessings are spiritual blessings. And it's in Ephesians chapter 6, we read about spiritual wickedness. So spiritual doesn't mean holy or godly, because you can have spiritual wickedness. But we read in Ephesians 6 the opposite of spiritual wickedness. It says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places." So the opposite of spiritual blessings would be flesh and blood blessings. In Deuteronomy 28, if you want to read it on your own, God promised Israel that he would bless their basket, their store, the fruit of their womb, and you can count their blessings with a checkbook or a bank book. Well, our blessings are all spiritual, and so this is something we have to recognize. You cannot measure our blessings with an earthly measuring stick. Now, that does not mean that we believe that the food that God provides for us on our table and our children or families are not blessings. We believe that they are a gift of God. But Paul is talking about the unique characteristic of the blessings that belong to the body of Christ. And it's not talking about our earthly provisions that God has given us as we sojourn here in this world waiting for that blessed hope. Pardon me one second. Every once in a while you have to take a sip of coffee when you're doing these radio programs. Well, so first of all, we've discussed the character of our blessings. Now let's talk about the place of our blessings. In Ephesians 1:3, we see the phrase heavenly places. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, the Greek expression, and I'm going to attempt to pronounce this, en tois epuranios, and that is in the heavenlies. This is the, according to the Greek scholars, this is the dative plural and denotes location. You hear that? It denotes location. And this expression, in the heavenlies, only occurs in Ephesians. Now, don't get me wrong. The word heaven appears elsewhere, but those are heavenly things or heaven. But this time in Ephesians, five times we read in the heavenlies, and it's only in Ephesians. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1:3, where Paul says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. In Ephesians 1:20, it's the place where Christ now sits, because he's been ascended far above all principalities and powers in the heavenly places. In Ephesians 2:6, that Christ and his church are raised and seated to be in the heavenly places. And in Ephesians 3:10, the church is a witness to principalities and powers in the heavenly places. In Ephesians 6:12, we battle with spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, it's true that the word epiranos, which is the word heaven, occurs in 15 more places, but in each case it denotes the character of the thing described and not the place. So the place, the sphere in which we will enjoy our blessings, is heavenly places. And some have translated this among the celestials or in the above heavens, and one has talked about it being in the super heavens. Now, in looking at the references we just pointed out, of all the references, pardon me, that was my computer, which I neglected to mute before I started this program, and I will do that right now. And we don't edit on this program, and so there, the mute button is on the computer. I did get an email. I'll check it later. So we, in looking at all the five references in Ephesians for the phrase in the heavenly places, as we just read them, first of all, we learn it's above all principalities and powers. It is the place of the throne of God. It is where the church, which is his body, will be seated with him, and we're there with him positionally now. It is the place where the church will be on daily display to show to all the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. It is also a place of spiritual wickedness in the realm of our warfare in the spirit. Isn't that interesting? This is not the earth, which was the inheritance of Abraham and the meek, according to, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It is not the New Jerusalem, which is the place of the church of God, and that we find in Acts. And it was never known that a group of people would enjoy blessings in that place until it was told here in Ephesians. Nobody ever hoped of going to this place. Nobody. Job talked about resurrection on the earth, and in Matthew we read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are going to be on the earth in the kingdom, not heavenly places. And this is the first time we read in the book of Ephesians that a group of God's redeemed will be in the heavenly places. It is also interesting to note that this is the very place where Satan aspired to establish his throne before his fall. Now, so first of all, we talked about the character of our blessings. They're all spiritual. We talked about the place of our blessings in the heavenly places. And now we're going to talk about the time element involved here. In Ephesians 1:4, Paul says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation, or literally the disruption or overthrow of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In Ephesians 1:4, we discover that the church of the one body, or the church which is his body, was chosen before the foundation of the world. This is an earlier choosing than that of any other dispensation in all the Word of God. The phrase occurs only three times. Now remember when we talked about right division, that we simply allow God to say what he says and mean what he says. Because there's a difference, when we rightly divide, there's a difference between the phrase before the foundation of the world and from the foundation of the world. And remember, this phrase, from the before the foundation of the world, only occurs three times. Now, twice it's in reference to the Lord, Jesus, and once in reference to his church, of which he is the head. And the references are these. In John 17, it says in verse 24, and we call it our Lord's Prayer in John 17, he says, "Thou," he's speaking to his Father, "thou lovest me before the foundation or overthrow of the world." And in 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20, the other occurrence, we read that Christ was a lamb slain, foreordained before the foundation of the world. And here in Ephesians 1, 4, "according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." This is the same time frame referred to in 2 Timothy 1, 9, where Timothy says that we are saved us in a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace was given us before the world began or before age times. This cannot refer to the Church of God or the kingdom in the Church of God in the early Acts or the kingdom. For in speaking of it, in Matthew 25:35, the time is given from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world. "Come, inherit a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The church, which is his body, their blessings have a unique time frame. It goes back to before the overthrow of the world. And we're going to, that's another subject for another time. But I just wanted you to see this, the unique character. So as far as the time element is concerned, we are the first chosen. Isn't that amazing? You, as a member of the body of Christ, if you believe the teachings of Paul and the mystery, you've been sealed to this hope. And you are part of a group that was the first chosen outside of our Lord and Savior, but we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And in this phrase, before the foundation of the world, we said there were three occurrences. And the first one, it says that Christ was loved before the foundation of the world, and Christ was chosen as a lamb without blemish and without spot before the foundation of the world. And in Ephesians 1:3, we see the same phrase. We are chosen in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and unblemished, referring to the same phrase that Peter uses concerning Christ, before him in love. Christ was loved before the foundation of the world. Christ was loved before the foundation of the world, and he was holy and without blemish before the foundation of the world. And God says the same thing regarding the church, which is his body. So, friends, the uniqueness of the body of Christ is found in Paul's later epistles, is different from any other calling. It's unique in its character. It's unique in the place it will occupy in the time frame in which it was chosen. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining us today in this wonderful topic. And our web address is crossandthrone.com. It's crossandthrone.com. I tell you, sometimes, just to speak personally here, when you're getting in teaching these things and you look up at the clock and your time's almost up, it's almost hard to shift gears and make our final announcements, so pardon me if I fumble a little bit. But again, our web address, crossandthrone.com, our number 847-312-4676. Go to our website, get a copy of the Companion Bible and the Concordant Literal New Testament and other good helps. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always.